Again, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy to be in the service? I may just turn around and say to your neighbor, welcome. Amen. It means welcome. All right. Amen. Pastor Crosby Maliko will take over from where he left off. How many were blessed this morning? Amen. Yes, we can give him a round of applause, all of you. Amen. We really, really appreciate his coming this side. And then we expect God to do great things. Amen. Let's just say there is a song. Maybe let's say the great physician is near, the sympathizing Jesus, as the man of God comes to the fore. How many believe the great physician is here? Amen.
The great physician. Shall is there
of that name, things begin to become calm. So let me say it one more time. I greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To God be the glory. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a special privilege it is to be called your bride. Simply means our other name is Mrs. Jesus. Father God, we truly appreciate in all the choice that you had, you chose us. Father God, we truly appreciate that in all the places we could be, you chose a provided place for us. And to that, Lord, we say, thy name be glorified. Let it be glorified in our lives. Through all the circumstances and situations of our lives, we have not just hope, but we had utmost confidence to know that with us, nothing shall be impossible. Because just like Moses, because of that stick, he spoke plagues into Egypt and he spoke deliverance for his people. And we are endued with the same stick tonight as the Church of the Living God. And many times we have failed to exercise the strength in that name because of not harnessing the deity. Give grace to us to be humble enough to live according to your principles, so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. Oh God, we want you, Father, to acknowledge us by vindicating your name in our lives. We don't want to be like the seven sons of Sceva, who says, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. Lord, we do not want to say we believe in the message that Brother Branham preached. We want to become the message itself. Lord, let it be that we are a manifested people in all the last days. Said, preach the gospel to every creature. Even in our prophet's days, animals were healed. In our day, more should happen. We truly appreciate you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people. I step in this podium in that wonderful name. And I pray that, Lord, deliverance might be wrought in the name of Jesus. Father God, we have no power, but we represent one who has. And every demon is going to move out of this place. Every foul spirit of unbelief and self-doubt has got to vacate these premises right now. We charge Satan in the name of Jesus Christ to let God's people go free. This we believe as we proclaim it, for we know what power is within us. So we can truly say, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody today, receive your deliverance. Amen and amen. Give God the praise. Amen. I'll ask you to turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16. I want to read it from verse number 16 to 19. I wonder if the tech team have everything in order now. Are you tired? God energizes us. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, from verse number 16. If you have found the place, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, and we have believed, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. It's very important that you should know and believe the love that God has for you. So let's read the scripture again. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Somebody say, to me. And the Bible says, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Yes. And then the next verse says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. I'd like to bring particular attention to that scripture which says you should walk in the love of God. So you must believe in the love that he has shed for you. If the devil wants to whip you, he persuades you that God does not love you enough. And he comes to whisper to you and say, if God loved you, why would this and this and this and this happen in your life? And somewhere there you begin to actually look around and say, indeed, I don't think God loves me. Because if he really loved me, there would be everything going smooth in my life. And many times you find as a believer, you begin to live a life of disgruntlement and complaint, yet you are living in God's love. So to dispel and to help the believer today, we've given you your rod, the name of the Lord. Now the scripture in 1 John chapter 4 tells you to live and walk in the love of God because he loved you first. Not to live in fear, because fear hath torment. Amen. Let us go to Job chapter number 22. And then while you are there, you could help yourself by putting a mark also on Proverbs chapter 3 from verse number 15. Job chapter number 22, the Bible says, therefore, snares are round about thee. Sudden fear troubleth thee. These are the words of a man called Eliphaz. I'd like for you again to open Proverbs chapter number 3. Pardon me, beginning it, let's take it from verse number 21. It said, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Are you hearing that? Verse number 24, he's talking about wisdom. It says, wisdom will keep you, you will not stumble. You shall walk in thy way safely. And it says there, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You don't need medication. Your sleep shall be sweet. Then it says, verse number 25, I would like for us to read it all. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. My title tonight is Sudden Fear. And my scriptures are coming from Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 25. And the contrary scripture is Job chapter number 22, verse number 10. And those scriptures you find Both of them has a word called sudden fear. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. Allow me for the next 15 minutes to give a scriptural background to what I'm about to preach so that you know what belongs to you as a believer. You are then able to exercise the faith and to know who you are and to never be frightened and to know who to rebuke when things don't go right in your life. You need to have the ability to tell the devil, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Praise the Lord. Now, Job chapter 22, verse number 10, is actually a man called Eliphaz. He is the one that's answering Job. If you remember the trial and the story of Job, Job was a man that was perfect and upright. And somehow God seemed to invoke, or rather go to the devil's camp and say, "Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" Which means Job was in a temptation, not because he was being punished, but because God was so braggadocious about Job. And he wanted to prove to the devil that when I seal an individual and I make him mine and he makes me his, I dwell in him, he dwells in me. If he walks in love, I walk in him. And if he walks in me, that man can never be affected by nothing. So the conversation is a common conversation between Job and, between God and the devil concerning Job. So it goes something like this. "Hey, Satan, wake up." Satan wakes up. Says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Lord, let's not waste each other's time. You know how you've protected him. You've blessed him. You've done everything for him. How can he not be under that kind of atmosphere of praising your name and raising his hands and going to church and enjoying? He buys suits whenever he likes. He buys cars whenever he likes. He buys houses whenever he likes. Everything is going good for this guy. How can he not praise you?" And then God said, "No, man, Satan, you got it wrong. This guy can praise me even with nothing." And the devil says, "Let's give it a try then." Says, "All right, I'll give you permission. But only don't touch his soul." Says, "Very well, let's start the journey of stripping Job to see if he can still praise God with nothing." And there is where a lot of believers stumble. They worship God for what he can give instead of worshiping God because of a revelation. They worship God because he's sorting out their marriage instead of worshiping God because of who he is. And brother, we are a wife. We are not a prostitute. A prostitute will be a wife for as long as it knows that after the expedition, it shall get paid. That's prostitute character. A real wife will be there whether you are sick, whether you are happy, whether things are going good, whether you've got it all covered. A wife will be by your side. I would be so sad to know that Sister Florence loves me for what I do for her. It would really put me into a depression. Because in love, you want someone that loves you in a good day, someone that loves you in a bad day, someone that loves you when things are going great, and someone that loves you when things aren't going great. So the discussion between God and Satan was to see whether Job is a seasonal Christian. And Job did not know that there has been a discussion in the dimensions. So he kept doing his business. But Job had a terrible mistake, and that's the thing that got him into his problems. He did not live his life in love, according to 1 John 4, verse number 16 to 19. He lived his life in fear. And then he begins to say, when the temptation has come upon his life, chapter 1, it's the devil and God and Job. Chapter 2, the thing starts to get into motion. Chapter 3, Job is lamenting. And then the brothers also come to console him. There is three brothers. There is Eliphaz, there is Bildad, and there is Zophar. These three brothers come. They are quiet for 7 days because the thing they saw Job encountering, it beat their wildest imagination. They never thought that a man can be tempted at this level. So the first thing that they did is they looked at Job and they were quiet. Then Job opened his mouth He began to say, naked came I from my father. I brought nothing. I will take nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the attitude of a believer. We don't worship him because of what he does. We worship him because he first loved us. That's the scripture you find in 1 John. Says, I love him because he first loved me. So now you see Job. He's all quiet. And in chapter 3, let's just go to Job chapter 3. And then just quickly go with me. It's a marathon of scriptures, but it'll do you good. Job chapter 3. Job starts the human lamentation of all human beings. Let's begin from verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? This is the question that a lot of people always have. Oh God, why was I alive? Why didn't I die? Because when you are in a problem, your problem will make you see no point of living. So Job was in this predicament. So he says, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? Here now he goes, he says, my mother should have just crushed me when I was coming out. And that it would have been good if my mother couldn't have milk to nurse me. For now should I have lain still and be quiet? I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth which built the desolate princes of themselves, or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silvers, or as a hidden untimely birth, I had not been. Job is desiring that I wish my mother had miscarried me. As infants which never saw light. Look at a mind of a man that's not walking in the love where he drifts to when things get perilous. It says, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Job does not want an earthly existence because of its pains. He says, take me where the wicked cease from troubling. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there. The servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. Job, I wish I die because I'm so bitter. Remember, he had every reason to be bitter. He just lost all his children. He lost all his wealth. The thing that he was living for, he has lost. But behind the scenes, that was the debate between God and Satan. So let's find out if this guy will save you. If we take away his children. If we take away his wealth. And seemingly, Job is being honest. He begins to think that, why was I born in the first place? What's the purpose for my life? Let's go, my brother. Yes. Which longeth for death, but it cometh not, and dig for the more than they hid treasures. Which rejoices exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing, listen to this, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Which means every time Job was sacrificing, he wasn't doing it for the love of God. He was doing it for the fear of God. And this is where we find many believers.
They live in fear. They are Christians because they are afraid of what will happen to them if they are not Christians. So he then gives the statement that, look at me now. This is what I feared. Now God looks at you and he sees the thing that's important in your life. If your husband is the most important thing, he will just make sure that there will be no agreement. Because all your life, you live to be appreciated by your husband. Okay. Somehow God gives him a very, very slow understanding of your concepts. To see whether you will be a believer. Because your belief is based on your husband loving you. And God does not like that. He wants you, sister, to be a fully fledged Christian in your own right. If you pass that test, you will be surprised that, how come in 2016 there is nothing I said which made sense to him? Until most people backslide because of what they perceive. Even in church, God will make your pastor always not seem to get the point you are trying to put across. Because that's what's happened to Job. Because God is looking for solid believers. So he sees the reason why you are in church is because of the husband. He just makes the husband slightly chaotic. It's you, sister, who's making your husband become chaotic because God hasn't really squeezed out every other thing because God wants first place in your life. If you also are a person who lives for your wife, you just get one that just embarrasses you in front of people. Because you want her in the message, because that's the only place that preaches submission. What's good for the geese should be good for the gender. You begin to see that for everything that you hold dear to, the devil and God have a conversation that this is why he's worshiping. If it's money, the devil will see to it that he proves to God that you are a Christian because of money. Until God gives the devil permission to say, let's remove it a bit. Because your courage and your confidence is in the money. You might ever be so educated until you have a secure profession. Something will go wrong for you to come to church humble. Just to prove to God. That is why I say in life there are two ways of learning. The easy way and the hard way. The easy way is when you are determined to say, no matter what, Lord, I will humble myself. I will go to church regardless of who's there or who's not there. If no one joins me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Not for what I get. I love him because he first loved me. Just being selected to be in the message and to sit where you are is enough for you to be confident of God's love. You could have been the wife of a deacon in Zion. Having rejected the message. Or you could be Bushiri's wife. Let me show you and make you realize that we worship God for who he is. Not what he gives us, but what he is. Right there, right where you are sitting. Somebody would pay $1 billion just to sit there and know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made and chosen by God. You must remember that God had options. Are you with me? He even said, if nobody will worship me, I'm able to raise stones unto Abraham. So you cannot come into the message and be so brigadacious and have such an attitude. You must come humbly all the time. And you must evaluate why you are a believer. Because if you are a believer because you are looking at your husband, be sure to be disappointed. When you get right with God, everything gets right. Not when he gets right. And when you get right, she gets right. It just works that way. Because God is not looking for some measly believers. People that we throw a pity party for. Until we have to find strategies to make you come to church and be a believer. And if you come, we have to clap hands that, wow, thank you, he's here. Do you see, brothers and sisters? That was the atmosphere with which Job lived. He says, the thing that I feared has come upon me and has come to me. It was upon and in the thing that he feared. He feared destruction. This is what you find in Job chapter 3. He makes a confession by his own mouth, which makes us understand that his prayer was not in faith. But it was, oh, please, Lord, in case my children do something wrong. Oh, please, Lord. Please, Lord. It wasn't, Lord, I thank you and appreciate you for my children. You gave them to me for your glory. I leave them into your hands. He believed his prayers was keeping the children. And God could only bring to him the thing that he feared. And the thing that he feared was what attracted the devil. Because that was his weak spot. Your prayers depict who you are all the time. So if God is hearing your prayer and the devil is being twatted all the time, but at least he goes with information that this person is afraid of cancer. Because they are constantly praying to say, Lord, let me not have cancer like my father did. Do you see how you sell out your secrets? Yes. We ought to live in faith, not in fear. Are you with me? So now, chapter 4 is the first time that somebody opens his mouth against Job. And that brother is Eliphaz. Eliphaz, when everybody couldn't speak, Eliphaz, he said in chapter 4, let's begin. Praise the Lord, let's just take it to so that we're not speaking fables. We understand you've got an online presence in this church. Let's read chapter 4. The first person to answer Job was Eliphaz. Then Eliphaz, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we assay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? Job comes, they see his problem, they see his predicament, and Eliphaz, all the brothers are quiet. Eliphaz says, hey brother, if we talk to you, will you be offended? And that's where now a lot of message believers, they hang around in this mode. Brother, we want to tell you the truth. What has happened to you is your fault. So if you commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast been strengthened. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now is it come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Says, brother, you blessed us. You strengthened us. When you sang items, tears will roll down our eyes. Now, it's you. You are quickly crying. You are even saying, I wish that I had died in my mother's womb. You must be careful how you go and console a believer. Because there could be a conference that none of you knows about. Between God and Satan. Is not this thy fear? thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways. Which means even Eliphaz could pick up that, isn't this what you've always been praying for? And it has happened to you. It is thy fear, thy confidence, thy uprightness. Wherever we fellowship, you told us you'll never commit adultery because you let that spirit of adultery come in the home. Instead of saying, I don't commit adultery because God would be offended, you were thinking more about your own home situation. You were living right, not because you feared God, but you feared the consequences of living wrong. You feared what the scripture says, the way of a transgressor is hard. So it says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Brother Eliphaz says, brother, we've also been in the message. These things just don't happen. Something is wrong somewhere. Whoever perished being righteous, them holidays you take a lot. Tell us what's been going on behind the scenes. Has anyone ever been cut off when they've been living right? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Quote after quote. Ta, 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 ta. Yeah. And then listen to what brother said. By the blast of God, they perish. You are telling someone whose children just died in a day, whose wealth disappeared in a day, say, there is a blast of God in your life. And by the breath of his nostrils, they are consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes because of lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. This is what I want you to catch. Whenever you find someone who comes and speaks like Eliphaz and wants to make their experience too spiritual to influence everyone, be careful. Eliphaz, remember all the other two haven't spoken. And Eliphaz now speaks. Says, now a thing was secretly brought to me in mine ear, received a little thereof. He plays the spiritual guru to intimidate the believers. He's opened his mouth for the first time. Says, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed by my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Look at how intimidating that is. And it stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. This is an angel without a form. I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? It says, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angel he charged with folly. How much less is them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is the dust, which are crushed before the moth? By saying those words, Zophar and Bildad were listening. He took the floor and he managed to influence everyone's thoughts. That you find those two other brothers start to speak against Job all through, right up until to the 31st Job chapter. Who set the tone? Eliphaz. How did he set it? He came with a spiritual revelation. Says, you know, I was sleeping. And when I fell asleep, you know, I just felt, you know, there's this feeling that I feel when something supernatural is about to happen. And my hair stood. And then I saw a vision. But the vision was a titular like a man. Then while I was trying to figure out what it was, a voice spoke. And the voice said, can a man be just with God? Then I realized that what you're going through is more spiritual than you think. And all the other brothers that were listening were like, yeah. That's why you ought not to live in fear of anything that looks spiritual. Because the message itself, when you follow it properly, it's spiritual. I want to tell a person who comes and say, I've dreamt this and this about you.
Tough brother. It's not going to happen.
So this guy managed to influence the whole party just by that. And everybody now begins to also come up with something spiritual to vindicate Eliphaz's dream. And now Job is left alone with no scriptural sympathy from nobody. So you then find that it was now backwards and forth. They accuse Job, he counteracts. They accuse Job, he counteracts. Until chapter 22, where we took the scripture, it was still Eliphaz counteracting Job. And now he's repeating the same words that he heard from Job in chapter 3 when Job said, the thing that I feared is the thing that has come upon me. And then now Eliphaz is more bold and he says to Job, thou shalt be afraid of sudden fear. He's now threatening him to say, that's why things happen to you this way. And then Job never answers. In chapter number 23, Job goes and says, oh, that I might find the house of God so that I might seek his face and ask him that what is this that's going on to me? Because he could not get his sympathy from no man. Amen. There comes a time when you know where you are standing. You don't argue with brothers. You seek the God that brought you into the message. Can I still preach? So, before Eliphaz, there was never a mention of sudden fear. So when that scripture was hanging in the Bible like that, God needed that scripture to also have a positive scripture that speaks about sudden fear. He then anoints the greatest man with wisdom outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon. And Solomon writes his Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 3, he comes on the scene and he says, if you take this thing, wisdom, you bind it upon your post, it will give you long life. It will be a tree of life. It will help you. It will give you confidence in all that you do. And then says, thou shalt not be afraid of sudden fear. Which means it is a counteraction of the scripture that was spoken by Eliphaz. Yet the scripture spoken by Eliphaz left without a positive one. We could be saying that is why we are fearful. So God had to bring another scripture, which is Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read it. Let's read it from verse number 22. It says, So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely. How many say, I want to live and walk in the way of God safely? And thy foot shall not stumble. Which means it is possible to live a fearless life. Where your thoughts are not predominantly affected by fear, but rather are predominantly affected by faith. Job was predominantly affected by fear, but we, after this scripture, are being told, if we take the tree of life, Jesus Christ, we need not fear. So now John chapter number 1, verse number 4, John chapter 4, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, now deals with that. Says, right, there is no fear in love. That is why every believer ought to love God so much that everything that you fear has to actually bypass God. So he says here, let's go, my brother, give me the scripture. And we have known him, and believe the love that God has for us. It says, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. How many want to say, I want to love God so much, nothing can affect me? And then he says, wherein is love made perfect? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we here on earth. There is no fear in love. Don't say, no, I'm of a nervous disposition. No. Love God so much that you've got nothing to fear. Can I say that again? Love God so much that you've got nothing to fear. Because your love for God is your assurance that nothing will go wrong. Anything short of that, you are manipulating and calculating and seeing what fits for you. And thereby, you are a seasonal believer. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So how many fears do we have there? Four in one verse. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 22. What does it say? It says, thou shalt not be afraid of sudden fear. So you are not afraid of fear. You are not fearing fear. And that word in the New Testament, fear, is called phobos. Get my text. It's called phobos. Hence my title is called Sudden Fear. Is this thing working? Okay. Yes, yes. These are the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt. He says, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. He is speaking against Scripture. Scripture says, thou shalt not be afraid of sudden fear. And he says, the only thing to fear is fear itself. This is a statement he made just after the Great Depression, when the stock exchange in America went wrong. Everything went bust. Everything, the economy was so bad, until the people were committing suicide because of not knowing the future. So he stood up and made an inaugural address. Says, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And the word that is just said there, if you're to go into the Greek definition of words, it says, listen to the prophet before I get to the definition. This is what the prophet says to believers. You are scared. People today is afraid. If you are not afraid of losing your husband, you are afraid of losing your job. If it's not losing your job, it's losing your house. People are now in the management of fear. How many want to say, God, deliver me from the management of fear? It says, you are scared. The people today is afraid. What are you afraid of? Why, even death itself don't scare a Christian. Death, where is your sting? Brother Ron says, the very thoughts, mindset, the very thoughts of people is scared. Oh, Brother Branham, the doctor told me I can't get well. What are you scared of? The doctor has just spoke according to his limited knowledge. He says, what are you scared of? There's an atonement laying yonder for you. Sure. Well, Brother Branham, I've done so much sins. What are you scared of? There's an atonement laying for you. There's someone who loves you so much that he first chose you. You did not find yourself sitting there by coincidence. No matter how you came to this church or into the message, the way you came doesn't matter. doesn't matter. The fact is you came, and it was God who allowed you to come. And he's the one that orchestrated the method of your coming. Some come running from other things. You are running to be saved. God is saying, welcome, my child, you've arrived. Don't be afraid of nothing. But it is fear that brought you from where you were running. Some came via marriage. You are afraid. No, God brought you anyhow. If it meant that one of his children has to go outside and backslide and then bring you in, he did it. You are here. Amen. There is no debate whether you are a child of God or not. Nothing to regret. Now that you are sitting here, discover yourself. Nothing more, nothing less. You can never be wiser than God. Nobody prayed their way into the message. Some people find the message in jail. God has to make you get arrested so that you can find it right there. Then he's happy. You are crying. You don't want to go to jail. God is saying, ha, I've got you. Because in your mind, as long as things are going your way, you never think about God. So he has to come and upset everything in your life. Turn you over upside down. And then he says, right. Sit there. You are my child anyhow. I love you. I put a GPS tracker in your system. And I knew you would never accept to be invited to church. But you could say, let's go to the movie with a man. And then the man is a backslidden brother. The first thing he says, he wants to be wise in the world, says, let's go out for a movie, XA. Then you accepted. Little did you know that the person has also got a chip in them. So you go via the movie. Ooh. Then later on he says, you know what, I don't believe in these trousers. But when you saw me, it was the trousers that you said, nice. It's because you have a chip in you that God put in your life, and he will track you no matter what it takes. He will track you until he gets you to where he wants you to be. So quit feeling sorry for yourself. When you begin to say, if only I was born in the mess. No. God knows everything. That's why he made us pastors, to tell you this unpopular truth. You might as well surrender and say, Lord, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. Forget about who brought me. Now it's me and you, Lord. You've hooked me. It's enough. Now I want to know you for myself. But if you don't get past that, you'll always forever in your mind be a second-class citizen in the message. And you become a very dangerous person in church, because you will also find someone who gravitates to your way of thinking, and you become a force. And then you start to live a life where you are antagonizing the message. This is God's love. In fact, those that came in very unceremonious ways should praise God harder than those that were born in it. Oh, I wish I had some believers. Others had no choice. They had to become via dedication. They actually regret why they were born in the message. And God is that wise. So everybody is an equal citizen in this kingdom. Do you think where I go, I tell people, I'm British, but I'm from Zimbabwe? No. I don't care who thinks what. I take out my passport and I say, British. How I got to England is nobody's business. How I got my papers is nobody's business. That's what you should do. Quit telling people how you came. You came anyhow. Oh, somebody give God the praise right there. Because we have people in the message, we have this spiritual audacity to judge others. No, brother. Let me tell you, the man that made it to heaven at the cross couldn't care less how many people sang, how many conventions were attended by all those that were in heaven. All he knows is he was at the cross and says, you, shame on you. You are being punished for your own sins. But that guy, be quiet. He got into heaven by shushing the devil at the cross. So you can imagine when he got there, he did not know no church language. And you who've been in the message longer, you should be more tolerant to someone that comes in. Because they just don't know how they came in. Just like our sister Ruth, praise the Lord. It never mattered that she was born a Moabitish woman. It mattered that she got to the husbandman, Boaz. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you think when Ruth was married to Boaz, went around the city apologizing, say, I'm sorry, all I wanted was a man. I ended up getting the real one, the top guy. No! Never worried about that. All Ruth could say, oh, marvelous grace. Wonderful grace. Here I am seemingly running away with a defeated mother-in-law, and I find myself. Overnight, we have farms and servants. Now I'm Mrs. Boaz. I don't apologize for who I am. Let me tell you, brother, you ought not to apologize for what God has made you. Somebody say amen. Brother, when you get to understand the message from the God point, this is where we are preaching from, showing you God's thoughts about you. That's why the Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Most of the time, it's you who thinks less of yourself than what God does. Give God some praise, somebody. That way of looking at yourself with a very low self-esteem, that's what drives believers into a depression. You are quite never worthy. And I want to take away that spirit from your life in the name of Jesus. And I couldn't care less who's under the sound of my voice. I came, if you notice on my files, these messages are the same messages I was preaching in America. So you cannot say he's preaching this because of me. No, they were already ordered. There is a file wrote from England that when I go to America, thus and thus, if God allows me, this is what I'll preach. And when I go to South Africa, thus and thus, if God allows me, this is what I'll preach. Now we are beginning to hear funny languages coming into the messages. You hear a believer talking about suicide in the message. Can't you see? The devil wants to get you so confused, and yet you are in the most sublime of times. How can you go to a psychiatrist? What can he give to you? He will tell you, sit here. And then you will sit. And then you will say, tell me about yourself. If it's easier for you to tell a psychiatrist that I was like this, I was like this, I was abused when I was little. But go and confess to a pastor, you find that hard. And then you pay. And then the psychiatrist, and then you speak. He says, your session is over, it's an hour. And then they're clocking the money. He says, judging from how suicidal you feel, we are going to have 24 sessions. 24 sessions of coming to tell another demon-possessed man about your demons. Hello? And after the 24 sessions, you are worse than before. Once you start to get admitted into a psychiatric hospital, you are a patient for life. You are going in for depression. Next time you are going in for anxiety. Another time you are going in for panic attacks. And another time you are going in for sleeplessness, insomnia. And another time, you are going, and the guy will be raking in some money. If all that money you are giving the psychiatrist, you put in the offering, we pastors would be better off. Some of you are laughing. Depression hasn't knocked on your door. I'm casting out spirits as I'm preaching. I'm not joking at all. This is serious business. Somebody's getting delivered and they will never be depressed again ever in their life in the name of Jesus. So that atmosphere of fear is what affected Job. And the prophet says, the very thoughts of people is scared. You wake up thinking, what will happen if my husband leaves me? And then you start to plan. A plan about being left. What will happen if he dies? And then you start to plan. So there is always an atmosphere of fear on your life. And then you also have a husband who's so insecure about his wife. When he comes from work, he doesn't come through the door. He has to go around the walls to see if there is a male voice in the house. Why can't we be secure? It's because of that atmosphere of fear. We don't trust each other. We don't have confidence in each other. So we are constantly grabbing each other's phone and who is Francis? I see there is 7 missed calls on. What was he looking for? That spirit of insecurity. It's an atmosphere we have to break. If you married someone, you better learn to trust them. Can I say something here? It's an atmosphere. Brother Bram says the very thoughts of people is afraid. So now we have a lot of people that are tormented yet in church. It's because of the spirit of fear. And that word fear of fear in Greek, it's called phobophobia. It says, phobophobia is the English adaptation of the Greek word phobos, which is what you find in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. I once taught you here another type of fear that believers have. How many remember what it is? Attic phobia, fear of failure. Now this one now is called fear of fear. That's why I read my scripture. Thou shall not be afraid of fear or sudden fear. And what is phobophobia? Phobophobia is the fear of phobias. More specifically, of the internal sensations associated with the phobia and anxiety, which binds it closely to other anxiety disorders. You are anxious because you are afraid you might be anxious. Fear of fear. Says, especially with generalized anxiety disorders. So to explain it in layman language, phobophobia is free floating fears. You are afraid the rand will go down. You are afraid the company will lose. You are afraid. If the company comes and announces we are laying off people, you, something in you say, I'll be the first one. I wonder whether you people are understanding it or it's funny. Are you getting it? Are you getting deliverance out of it? We believers are meant to walk by faith. Instead of thinking things will happen negatively. If they say they are laying off people at work, that's the time to say, bless God, hallelujah. I just hope they fire that manager and I get promoted. That's how we are supposed to think. Not the other way around. We shouldn't be affected by news. We are believers. Some of you are worried when the rand goes down. Some of you's wealth is actually waiting for the rand to go down. That's only when your business can actually make sense. It doesn't operate well if the rand is powerful. But most of you are thinking nationwide. It won't be good for the country. If your rand gets stronger, we won't come. No tourism. Cape Town will be closed. Yeah, no one will go to God's eye. Imagine if your rand was 1:1 with the pound. What would we be coming here to do? I will remain there. We are coming because your rand is weaker. So it makes us enjoy holiday. And I want to change your mindset. All those Nando's shops and all those Ocean Basket and all those places will close. Yeah, but let you, because you are being made to fear based on the politician's fear. You are an economy by God's grace. Right now we are in a place where we are telling each other God's secrets on how to live. If the rand strengthens, bless God. If it doesn't, bless God. You know that one way or the other, it's going to be well by me. Simple as that. Can I still preach? How many say, Lord, deliver me from free floating fears? Says, panic attacks, it is a condition in which anxiety disorders are maintained in an extended way. This one normally affects sisters a great deal. Husband will say, sister, I love you. Say, but you don't love me. If you love me, what about this? What about this? If he says, I love you, believe it. Amen. Rather than not believe it. Amen. And a lot of time you don't believe what he has said, then you end up experiencing what you believe, that he doesn't love you. If I say, Sister Florence, I love you, she should believe it. Because you are a product of your belief system. That is why people that are free-floating fears, if anything happens, if anything negative happens, they always wind up with saying, I always knew that you didn't love me. No, it was your fear that you believed more than the words that were spoken about you. That is why I read you the scripture. We love him because he first loved us. If you have any fear of some sort, the antidote is love God too much. That fear will vanish away. Can I still preach? It says, it is a condition of anxiety disorders extend from one way, which combined with the psychological fear generated by phobophobia of encountering the feared phobia would ultimately lead to an intensifying of the effects of the feared phobia that the patient might have developed, making them susceptible to an extreme level of fear or panic attack. So some people end up fearing because they were fearful and then they were afraid, then they end up fearing. And then the Bible simply said, thou shall not be afraid of sudden fear. Sudden fear is things that spring up. Even an emergency disaster should not frighten you. There was a woman in the Bible who had no child. Never had a child. But one day that woman cried to the Lord and the Lord gave a child, not in a way that she was expecting. She had long given up on childbirth. But one day she started to entertain a man of God in her house. And then that man of God said to that woman, what is it that this woman needs? Then they realized that she's got everything in terms of wealth. So shall we put a good word to the king on your behalf? The woman said, it's not necessary. And then the servant of the prophet mentioned that this woman has no child. Says, okay, let's go and say, thus saith the Lord, according to the time of life, you shall be a mother. Oh, it was all hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Hallelujah. And you can imagine, they were speaking with the husband and said, look at it, when you make grace available for the man of God, now we have a child. The child grew to be 12 years and sudden fear came. Child had a sunstroke and died. The father remained preparing for a funeral. But the woman said, saddle me an ass. I want to go to the man of God. And she started going with her servant, and the servant ran ahead, and the servant of God was behind with his servant Gehazi. Elisha said, I see that woman says, is all well. If it was modern day sisters, they would have ripped up. My child has died. Sudden fear had come in that home when she was asked, is Doris all well? What was her answer? All is well. That's because in her system, she knew that God will never disappoint her. But if it was others, they would have said, we knew that these children that come by such a miracle, they will die at 12. It's a fake child. It's a Jing Zhong testimony. Rumor would go around the city that that child died. Then people would say, it could be that that child actually was the prophet's child. Oh, don't forget that you don't read the Bible and not know that human encounter and human stories remain the same. But God being God, he loves it when you have faith. That is why the Bible says without faith, it's practically impossible to please God. If we can master this and not live in fear of fear, we liberate our faith. Amen. Let me skip that. You read when you get home. These are the symptoms of it. Amen. You just get paleness of skin. Some people will go for interviews already saying that I know I won't get the job. And the type of people I don't like is those that believe God for their healing. You pray for them, say, I'm still believing God for my healing. No, when you are prayed, you are healed. When you are prayed for, you are healed. Period. Sweating. Rapid pounding of the heart. And this one now, we grew up under this one, number 5. Rising of blood pressure. How many have their mothers threatened them? You, your character, you're making my blood pressure go up. Tension in the muscles. Trembling. Readiness to be startled. Dryness and tightness of the throat and mouth. Despite having just had a drink, you still feel dry, sweat. Rapid breathing. Desperation. A sinking feeling in the stomach. Now that one. You just wake up with a sinking feeling in the stomach. And then you hear bad news. Says, I knew that something was going to go wrong. You even confirm it. Says, I even told my husband how I was feeling. It's an atmosphere of fear. This one. A strong desire to cry. Sisters. You want to speak to someone and really let out your emotions. And the other sister embraces you and says, I understand. You are both baptizing each other in fear. Then the sister says, that sister is nice. She understands. Most of you sisters, let me give you a word of advice. If you are constantly complaining about your husband, you are shooting yourself in the foot. Yeah. When things get right with your husband, you've just left people with the knowledge that you and your husband don't get along. So every time they see you holding hands, because you told them 2 years ago that you don't get along, they will be telling their other friend that, ah, don't worry about those ones. They don't love each other. The sister told me herself. She told me that this guy does not love me. And she even cried. And we held each other. And we started to pray and to pray. That's when she felt free. And nobody goes to complain to another sister. Sister, you know what? I don't even listen to my husband. You only go with he doesn't understand. I'm going to be real with you. He's my friend. He's asked me to preach. We're about to get into a communion. Most of the things, I don't do marriage counseling in church. Nah, me. To sit down, husband, wife. So what is happening? And the wife will try and show the pastor how dismal her life has been. It has been hell since she met this brother. And the brother will be trying to defend himself in front of the pastor. And you all look like animals. Do yourself a favor. Love God so much that you can even love the devil himself. Amen. For not wanting to hate the devil. You're so full of love. Like Sister Bruce, who says, and who Brother Branham ended up asking, says, so what do you think about the devil? She couldn't speak bad about anyone. She says, he's a good adversary. She couldn't say he's a devil. Sisters, learn this thing. No marriage has, there is no marriage without challenges. The very thing you are complaining about, the person you are probably complaining to, probably has it worse. Only that they found somebody to hear from so that they can measure their intensity versus yours. And then feel good that theirs is better than yours. Amen. It's because we live under a constant atmosphere of fear. And fear is more projected than faith. When you begin to actually say, you know what? I can live a life of disgruntlement, yet I'll never have any other husband. That's my man. Your attitude begins to change. And then you'll see things working out better. Don't be too ambitious. Say, yeah, from now onwards, we won't have any problem because the pastor preached. No, no, no. Take one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Are you with me? There are good days and bad days. But the good days should never be counteracted by the bad days. Look at your marriage as a complete being. Would your life be better without this man you despise? This issue of sudden fear is serious. The main problem with this disorder, it's a disorder. Touch your neighbor and say, I hope you are delivered from this disorder. I'm about to finish. I see the clock is 7 o'clock right there. Oh, okay. Thank you, Pastor. The main problem with this disorder is that we do not know what we are troubled about. You are troubled. But to actually isolate the thing that you are troubled with, you really don't know. It's just a general idea that your husband doesn't love you or your wife is sabotaging you. To the husband, it's normally you are sabotaging me. To the wife, it's normally you don't love me. Am I preaching to both sides, okay? Yes. Says, the main problem with this disorder is that we do not know what we are troubled about, which may lead to our desire to escape. So you want out of the marriage, but why? You don't know, but you just want out. So you have a desire to escape. Then you end up having suicidal ideation because you know that scripturally if you would walk out, your knowledge will affect you because you know you can't be married, you are somebody's wife. Yes. Okay. So what remains is, let me kill myself. The desire to escape. You are thinking that you are escaping abuse by dying. Anxiety becomes a disorder only when we experience psychological trauma, in which our knowledge of past events trigger a fear of an uncertain danger in the future. Your knowledge of past events, that's why I'm saying to you, you must be thoroughly and totally delivered. You must completely know that you were made and fearfully, wonderfully, and chosen by God to be who you are. Whatever is in your subconscious, how you came into the message, how you are, you see yourself, all that has to fall down. And Christ has to rise in your life. And you must know that it's Him who chose you. So you says, so listen to the definition. It says, it will be triggered by a fear of uncertain. It's a fear of fear. You are fearing an uncertain danger in the future. And you are preparing for it here before it happens. You are building slow mobiles, wondering what will happen if there is a thunderstorm and a lot of snow in Mpumalanga. History will tell you it's not a snow region, but you are preparing for snow. How many say? That is why the Bible says fear hath torment. It's tormenting to manage situations that haven't arisen. It says, in other words, the primary event is anxiety, which arises for no accountable reason. You are anxious for no accountable reason. Panic might develop from anxiety. And the phobophobia is developed in the very end as a consequence of both of them sharing some of the symptoms. It's anxiety and fear. And anxiety is fear itself. And yet the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, let's save it, my brother. Let's have the King James before we get to the Amplified. I do not want you to live in an atmosphere of fear. How many want to, you've had your mouth shut for a long time. How many want to shout, all is well?
All is well.
How many want to shout,
I'm afraid of nothing?
How many want to say, nothing will happen to me? Nothing will happen to you. And if you want to judge something that might happen to you, just say, nothing will happen to me in Jesus' name. Listen to what the Bible says. If you want to avoid, remember the first portion said you should love God so much. Now it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Let's read the next verse. This is where anxiousness, anxiety, that's where it is. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Anything that brings anxiety upon your life, pray.
Amen.
Judge it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Then when you do that, because remember you are anxious, this is what then happens to you. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. How many can say, I never realized there's an antidote to fear? It starts by giving you an instruction. Rejoice in the Lord always. and again I say, rejoice. That takes away the atmosphere of fear. Remember, the prophet says, the very thoughts of people is afraid. So now, if you are constantly living in joy, do you have time to really sit down and start to ponder? Such a, my life has never been this nice. In 2012, I remember when we went to that place, we did this. Me, I think me. You see, you have given the devil enough time to really fill you with unbelief until you emerge with a solution. And then you say, let me just end it. Better I die. Oh yes, I was preaching this in America. Better I die. Then you are thinking of, if I kill myself, you will marry another sister. Then you will be happy. At least I won't have to go through what I'm going through. Because you neglected the Bible. The Bible told you rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Now listen to it in Amplified so that you know it's a real antidote. This is what it says in Amplified. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it says, glad and delight. Gladden yourself in him. Which means, there is no room to say my husband does not make me happy. Amen. You gladden yourself.
Yeah. You just look around. And you know God is alive. You look at your children. And you see your nose and he says, that's something to live for. You look at your husband. As he walks in, not understanding you, says, I'm going to help you spiritually. You look around. You gladden yourself. It never said rejoice. Get some joy from somebody.
I told my wife one day, I said, Sister Florence, if you are thinking that I'm going to make you happy, I'm a human being. I might not have the capability. Because when I married you, God never gave us a manual about how women think before certain situations. He simply said, marry and live by faith. But what I can tell you is, I love you in my quirky way. I'll never bring shame to your life. You'll never be treated for no venereal disease. You'll never live without provision. But I want, you tell me what makes you happy, and then I'll try. If it doesn't work around very well, understand that I'm also a man. Amen. Just like there is no sister who really pleases his husband 100%. But you come to a point where he says, you know what, I love her. In her effort as a woman, she's not been given a manual that when beard is coming out, it's itchy. So we get moody when beard is coming out before we shave. Can I still preach? Are you still okay? So, she came to a revelation of knowing that no matter what, this guy loves me. It's not about me. If he was married to who I think would make him happy, he would still behave the same way. So, let me just settle it. He loves me. When we got that out of the way, our romance is easy. When we're having a bad day, she knows that today he won't gladden me. Let me gladden myself. And then you hear her listening to a tape. And then you hear her say, hallelujah, on her own. Then I realize that she must have been anxious for something. But she has found an outlet. She is doing Philippians 4. She's rejoicing in the Lord. So listen to the scripture. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Which means delight. Gladden yourself in him. Again, I say, rejoice. Touch your neighbor and say, you need to make yourself happy in the Lord. Amen. This is when a sister who's such a shyster, she never sings an item. She's never in the church program. She's not even Brother Ntokozo's choir. She just comes and says, today I'd like to give an item. The sister next to her says, no, mine today. And she comes and says, you know, I was listening to Brother Fred's song about look around. I want to sing it like a sister. Sometimes you feel so discouraged. I just look around. Church, today I just want to say, when I look at you, I see all Holy Ghost filled people. I'm just looking around. Thank you for the item. Don't you say, sister, we need professional items. Somebody is gladdening themselves. You need to have a self-sustaining power in case your husband ain't got it for you. Some sister say amen right there.
This day I've never been happy.
Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. Amen. He is coming soon. Amen. 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 Says, this is where it says, don't be anxious. Yeah. Don't be careful for nothing. Listen to what the Bible says in Amplified. Do not fret. Don't prepare to cry. Don't prepare to run. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests. There is no harm in secretly praying, not in his presence. Lord, my husband doesn't understand me. Help him to understand me. And then you come back and you say your issue and says, no, I didn't realize that's what you meant. He's understanding. It's because you prayed about it and you were not anxious. Because prayer has an ability to take away fear and bring a sweet atmosphere on you. But if you say, I wonder how he's going to say today if he just goes there. The devil will make him go there. Because your fear is working like faith. It will actually attract him to go there. That is why the prophet says every sister has it within her to create an atmosphere in the home. You can create an atmosphere of quarrel on your own in your home. Or you can create an atmosphere that harnesses the Holy Ghost. Where you know he's coming and you know his thought process. You say, Lord, I know my husband. If I just say, whoa, you are thinking of a holiday. You very well know our bills are not... But if you pray, you have the ability to put the words in his mouth through your prayer. So, Lord, you know my desire. I just don't want to suggest anything. It always comes out wrong if it comes out from me. Lord, I pray you are a God that makes all things possible. I pray that you put it in his mind to suggest it to me so that I play the part of a submissive wife. Because the problem with sisters and brothers is that brothers always think that you go ahead of me. Am I the only one who has that problem? So if you are constantly going ahead and bumping, and then you'll wind up saying, he doesn't love me. No, he does. It's the methodology. So he says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But you actually pray. Says pray randomly. No, definite requests. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And the God of peace shall be yours. And then that tranquil state of the soul, assured of salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace which transcends all understanding, shall garrison you and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine having the peace of God garrisoning you? Your heart is garrisoned. Do you know what a garrison is? Like a fort, an army. Garrison, which means you've got nothing to fear. You've got too many bodyguards. And that peace of God wants to be like that in a sister's life and in a brother's life. Where you don't, most of the sisters affect their lives by manipulation. So now, a relationship becomes like a cat and mouse game. The husband being the cat, the wife being the mouse. But yet, the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And again, I say rejoice. We grew up in Sunday school, and as you singing that song, we never knew the importance of it, because we were not married then. Rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice in the Lord. I say, my husband doesn't like me. You see, what you are singing is an instruction to gladden yourself, thereby avoiding the pitfalls of life. I like to take a church deeper and deeper and deeper into knowing that you should not be afraid of sudden fear. I'm going into the discernment. Most of the people that were in the discernment line in Brother Branham's life, they were in the discernment with problems they didn't know. Only for Brother Branham to take the source. So Brother Branham, brother comes in discernment, who was living under the atmosphere of fear with phobophobia, nervousness. Brother Branham, there will always be a sickness that takes you to the prayer line. Says, say, you are a very deep thinker, aren't you? Yes, say, you are always studying things. Or if I would say this that you might know, you cross bridges many times before you get them. You get to them. This is somebody's atmosphere. They cannot believe that God can take care and order their footsteps. It says you are always crossing bridges before you get them. Says, and that's a hereditary. Some people have a nervous disposition of calculating things, and it's in their genes. That is why the new birth ought to eradicate all those things. You must be a free believer, not be a person with free floating fears. Says it's hereditary. Says that's your makeup. That is true, isn't it? And you are suffering tonight with stomach trouble. Isn't that right? Because you can't eat certain things. It's an ulcerated stomach. It's been caused from a condition that comes a long time ago. And you are nervous. Your eyes are stigmatized. And you've been practically nervous for a very long time. And inward nervous. The kind we described. Remember what it said on the definition of phobophobia? It says inward sensations. Inward nervous. Is that right? Amen. At your work. Sometime I notice you. And sitting down, your strength becomes so depleted at times till you have to sit down and rest. All that because of nervousness. Raise up, my brother. Is that true? I'm not reading your mind, my brother. I'm telling you, as the same spirit that was speaking by our Lord Jesus just revealed to you what was in your life. Is that right? All right. Will you be accept me as his prophet? I have told you the truth. Is that right? By the supernatural being? Do you accept it that way? Then believe me as God's prophet. Go home and eat anything you want to. The ulcer is healed. Amen. You can go. God bless you, my brother. The Lord Jesus make you well. She's in the prayer line because of a tummy ache, but Brother Branham sees the cause of the tummy ache. Amen. Inward fear and sensation causing ulcers. So much that the prophet had to descend and tell him that that is why you are seated at work sometimes. You just feel strength because you cross bridges before you get there. So it takes virtue for you to be organizing life in your brain. Then we shall go from here to here. Then if things go, then I'll phone brother so and so. If you miss the brother for some genuine reason that his phone was lost somewhere, you think, I know he's not answering my phone. Because you are not living in faith. You are living in fear. And you end up releasing gases in your stomach, acid. Then you end up developing ulcers. So all that the doctors can do, the medical ones, they will say you've got ulcers. Then they'll tell you avoid these foods and these foods and these foods. And try not to think a lot. Because it will cause you to have ulcers. But the prophet traced it back to nervousness. And traced it back to the fact that it was hereditary. And how many here are sitting with that nervous disposition? It goes on, says here. It goes on, let me go, my brother. It goes on to the next person. How do you do, sister? You are a believer. You've been disturbed for some time, haven't you? You have something on your mind that has worried you. This is Brother Abraham in the prayer line. Of course, the time of life that you are living in is one thing. If you understand what I'm speaking about. It has got you all very much upset. You know what I'm speaking of? The menopause. It's made you extremely that way. And the prophet said, Satan lies to you. He tries to make you think that you are everything is wrong with you. That you are not going to get well. And make you think that your time is near. Make you think sometime that you have crossed the line. Brother Branham is descending a sister. Says, firstly, you are at that age of menopause. Secondly, the devil tells you that you, others can receive the Holy Ghost, not you. You've crossed the line. Now imagine if a believer believes and thinks like that. So you could come to church every service and go home the same. And every service just becomes, yeah, it was nice. So it's like pouring water on duck feathers. So Brother Branham goes to the root cause. And most of the problems that are there in the lives of people have a root cause, nervousness. You end up feeling in a certain way or behaving in a certain way or going through certain things and the devil now comes. Because if you are nervous or you are fearful, the devil finds a good bearing ground for coming to really plant his seeds of unbelief. So he told the sister that you've crossed the line of mercy. So if you are being told you've crossed the line of mercy by the devil in your mind, there's no harm in killing yourself. Because you've crossed the line of mercy anyway, you'll go to hell anyway. If you kill yourself, it's one way to go to hell anyway. You've crossed the line of mercy, you kill yourself. And Brother Brown is catching these things in discernment. This is when sisters, you just wake up tired from sleeping because you're carrying a heavy load. Your mind is running constantly. You can't have sound sleep because you are crossing bridges before you get there. Constantly planning. And then you drive yourself into sickness. Let's go, my brother. Brother Abraham still is helping this. But that's wrong. You are suffering with a tumor also, aren't you? Aha. Was that true? That was all true. Now, whatever I said, it was the truth. I don't know you, do I, lady? I don't know you at all. We are strangers. And that was the truth. And what was said would only be revealed by some supernatural being. Is that right? Will you believe me as his prophet? Then come here and let me put my hand upon you. He was about to judge the thing. He says, Father, it is written in the word, the last words from our master's lips. He's now using Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. God bless this one, who I told her, I hold her hand tonight. Now, nervousness is now being rebuked as a devil. And thou demon, you try to hold her, but you are exposed tonight before this audience. Amen. You've hid in her in the form of a tumor. You thought you could hide from a doctor, but you can't hide from God. He is more than a match for you. I come to represent Jesus from Calvary, who won the victory over you and all your kind. And I take the authority tonight by a commission given to me by an angel, whose I represent now to witness to. You can't hold her any longer. Come out of her. In the name of Jesus Christ. So you see here, Brother Branham descends a brother with a nervous condition that was hereditary, then moves on to a sister during menopause with a tumor, but he rebukes it as a devil, but it started and was triggered by nervousness. Brother, sister, hear me and hear me well. Move away from the spirit of nervousness. And the solution is rejoice in the Lord always. Number one. Number two, the other solution is perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love to God will deliver you from all spirits of fear. Are you with me? Oh, I love him. How wonderful. I wish you could feel the glorious feeling here. Not only is the angel of here, you see, it says the Holy Spirit is here. For the angel of the Lord, it seems to me to kind of settle. But the Holy Spirit makes the people rejoice and be happy. Brother, I'm speaking of two things. You'll catch them. It's another sermon. But I want to quickly rush. How do you do, sister? You are a type of a person that's once believing. Listen to this type of a people. That once believing, you believe. This is in another category of a sister. You are a type of a sister that once believing, you believe. Kind of hard for you to see it, but do a lot of worrying about things. Cross bridges before you get to them. Build castles that never come to pass. Here is a sister who's constantly over-processing. When you catch a revelation, it's like, my faith has got it. It's got to happen. And then you begin to get excited about it. And then it never comes to pass. Because you already saw yourself in the thing before it happened. You cross bridges before you get there. And then it says, you end up building yourself castles in the air. So you'll be saying, it's faith, my love. And then you don't realize that your faith has to match with his revelation. So it seems like whatever he now projects, you easily become frustrated again. Because your aspirations and your plans and your belief have been affected by the level of belief that this person has. Now you are frustrated. So you rise up and then boom, to the floor again. And then you say, it never works in the message. And then it says here, you cross bridges before you get them. You build castles that never come to pass. Because that's your nature. But if you will believe me as God's prophet, do you? All right. The diabetes will leave you. And you can go home and be well. So she's ended up with sugar diabetes. Because of crossing bridges before she gets there. She ends up comfort eating. Two muffins plus a cake. And some pumpkin. Just to settle herself. You end up with diabetes. But what brought you to diabetes is nervousness. Sudden fear. He says, can you believe that? Go ahead. And you have believed. Can you receive? God bless you. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's say praise be to God. Do you see that? Now we get to the third one. I just want to show you something. I'm quickly read this. How do you do, sister? You believe with all your heart, do you? Now you are a very nervous person. See? Not never, not in a nervous of shaking and jumping. But what you are nervous at, it's a mental nervousness. Because you are a deep thinker. You are a deep thinker. You are always thinking. This one, sisters, listen to those sisters who appear like deacons at church. You are always thinking and taking other people's troubles. You cross bridges before you get to it. Isn't that right? And that's the old expression. That's your nature. That's your makeup. What your troubles is. You got stomach trouble, and that's just exactly what caused it. It's ulcerated stomach caused from a nervous condition, causing souring and belching, and everything, is that right? Floaty feeling and nervous smothering when you lay down and you think you are having heart trouble sometimes. But it isn't heart trouble, it is excess gas. And the prophet is saying, your problem is, your issue is, you are a nervous character. Because you take people's problems. Things that people should be relating to the pastor, they relate to you. Because you take people's problems to pray for them. And then they tell you things that your system is not made up to hold. And then they become such a burden upon your life. And you end up now, you want to go to sleep, you can't sleep because there is excess gas in your system. And you're actually thinking, I'm having a heart attack. So you get into the prayer line and the prophet does not tell you, I've prayed for your sickness, you are healed, go. He says, no, your problem, sister, is you are taking issues. These are the sisters in church that know how to comfort others. That I took sister so-and-so under my wings and I prayed with her and I helped her and she received the Holy Ghost. Watch that sister. Then you'll hear one ear, she's struggling with ulcers. But she doesn't know that it's ulcers that are caused by her nervous system. She is thinking, I'm going to have a heart attack. Because when she sleeps, she has a problem with excess gas. And my brother was a medical doctor. He's seeing that the message is so true. Brother Branham wasn't into the curing of symptoms. He was into the real deal. The source. That's why the prophet says, find the source. You will get the cure. How many people will tell, sister will tell a sister, sister, what I'm going through. She says, you persuade, tell me. No, sister, I can't tell you. It's so hard. Don't worry, sister, I can handle it. I'll pray with you. Really? And yet we pastors, there are stories we don't even tell our wives. Your wife will just see you in bed, not wanting to talk. You'll be tossing and turning. What is it? Tell me, my husband. And then you'll be thinking, I can't handle it. If I tell you that there's two of us who can handle this situation. And that was that type of a sister. There is two. There's coming another one. Let's go. Yes. Come here, lady. Look at the dates. Different. Come here, lady. You believe me to come? Will you obey me as God's prophet? Do what I tell you. Now look. You've been nervous for some time. It's a mental nervous. That you are always. You are trying to be deeply sincere. Take other people's thoughts to yourself. And things like that. In other words, you cross bridges before you get to it. And it has created to you an ulcer condition in your stomach. You got a stomach trouble. You can't eat right. Jesus Christ makes you well. Do you believe it? Then go and eat your supper. God be merciful to you. Do you see sisters getting themselves into a category that they can't handle? And if we pastors don't tell sisters that some of these things that you want to know about people's lives, you are not built up to carry those things. You will wind up one day with ulcers because you are praying for things that don't concern you. Because there are some sisters who can actually become like pastors. They have their own little flock of other spiritual sisters that every sister goes to them. And now they wind up themselves with ulcers. Brother Abraham says, it's not because you are a sister who wants to hear gossip or people's issues. You are actually deeply sincere. You are deeply sincere, but you are getting yourself into a category that's not yours. And sisters will be using a scripture. Titus says, let the elder teach the younger. And you're carrying yourself burdens that you ought not to carry. And then you end up in a nervous condition. Can I still preach?
Amen.
Let me go to, I've got a couple more. Beautiful. Brother Branham, nervousness. The only thing, sir, you think deep, you cross bridges before you get there. Taking other things upon your heart, you are always planning something that never happens. It's only mentally nervous. It's a mental nervousness. Is that right? You've been that way for years. You can have brothers that are constantly holding business plans. This year he wants to do this. This year he's constantly like that. Nothing materializes. Says, but Jesus is here to take it off of you. It can be a spirit. And there's a dark shadow follows you all the time. They are conscious that something is near you like that all the time. Do you believe that God is going to take it away from you now? Satan, leave this man, come out of him in Jesus' name. Go out of this man. I adjure thee by the living God. Torment him no more. Raise up your hands, say, you are free for the first time since you was a child. Go on your road rejoicing. Because your mental thinking, that's why I read you the quote, that the very thoughts of people is afraid. That is what fear has produced. And no doubt by preaching different scenarios and showing you by discernment, there's been people here who can identify themselves with those quotations. Why am I preaching it like this? So that you can now also begin to raise your own rod and judge this condition in your life. Believest thou this? There's another one I will not go there, brother. At least you now got the gist of it. There's another one where Brother Branham descends a young man. He descends him when he's a man. And he says to him, you were like this since you were a child. You always got into fights because you were nervous. Now we look at people that get into fights. We think they are brave. And yet their fights are being motivated by nervousness. So you are constantly into trouble. And then we see people that become hardened criminals in prison. And then that one he doesn't fear anything. He's talked himself into saying he doesn't fear, but he's actually nervous. And it's nervousness that got him there. It started from when he was at school. He was defiant to teachers, defiant to parents, defiant to everything. Until he wound up in jail. And in jail he formed a gang. And in the gang in jail, he became somebody that was always vicious. But deep down, that guy's heart is such fear that if the prophet was to descend that man, he would told him, my friend, you appear like you are bold, but you are actually afraid. So your violence is because of your fear. That is the next quote from here, but it's very lengthy. So I didn't read it because of our time. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we ought not to live in an atmosphere of fear. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, I want to reassure you that when Eliphaz spoke those words that you shall be affected by sudden fear, God made it his program to teach the believer to always be assured of faith. And then David, by inspiration, comes with Psalms chapter 91. Put it up. Psalms chapter 91 is to assure the believer that there is nothing that just happens that will catch you off guard. You must live in faith. Are you with me? Are you with me? Psalms chapter 91. This is your portion. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. What is a fortress? A fortress is a garrison. He is my garrison and my God. In Him will I trust. Not in my husband, not in my wife. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Can I be afraid when I know God can cover me with His feathers? And under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. Let's read that together if you are awake. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. 24-hour protection. Nothing to be afraid of. May God bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer.
Amen.
How many have caught that little teaching that with the name of Jesus in my hand, I ought not to live in an atmosphere of fear? Amen. How many say, I've been delivered from a fearful thinking,
yes,
fearful thoughts. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
As we rise to our feet, we call our pastor. He will conduct the communion for us. But church,
amen,
don't fear nothing.
That's right.
We are not meant to be cowards. Crossing bridges before we get there. We live by faith.
Amen.
And God will make a way through it all.
That's right.
I'll just ask you to bow your heads as I pray and then invite the pastor to take over. Just want to speak words over your life. If you can raise your hands and believe God, take them into your spirit. Just like a psychiatrist will tell you, take this brown paper bag, breathe into it for a minute. I want to tell you the joy of the Lord is a strength.
Thank you.
I want to tell you, my brother, we are the most loved people on earth. His eye is on the sparrow. He watches over us. We do not have to suffer because fear hath torment. Be liberated in the name of Jesus. Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up our hands to say, if these spirits of fear, this atmosphere of fear has been upon us from hereditary, maybe menopause, crossing bridges before we get there. Maybe sincerely taking burdens that ought not to be ours. We cast all our burdens unto you, for you care for us. We lift up our hands in surrender to you. I surrender all my silent hopes and fears. Though the price to follow costs me everything, I'd rather fall into the hands of God. I want to love you with all that's within me to the extent that there will be no iota of fear, because fear hath torment. I'm sick and tired of being tormented. I raise up my hands in faith And I claim victory in the name of Jesus. And I paralyze every spirit of fear. And I claim joy for your people. Even as the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. I bind that mamba, that spirit of fear that grips your people. I stretch forth the rod, that highway in the mamba, that mamba in the highway can be eaten by that snake that Jesus is. We judge every foul spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every sister be assured of the love of God. Let every brother be assured of the love of God. We want to be able to declare that all is well. Even as we go to partake of the Lord's table, we do it with the confidence of knowing that we should do this in remembrance of you. Because you are all that we need. We glorify your name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak over your people, O God. Let every sister pick up courage from this moment on. Let every brother pick up courage from this moment on. Let the courage of God be in the hearts of your people. We are a people of God. We come from far. We're going back to God. Not saved by the bell, but according to the scripture, you say, then the people that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. Strengthen us. Give an exodus to our spirits from fear to faith, from defeat to victory, from sickness to health, from sadness to joy. Grant it, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church shall say, amen.
Amen.
His Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you do these things, happy are you if you do them. Are we together? It's another part of removing. Yes, we can go. Finally. I think that is your way to the church. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a worshiping song as we wrap up in prayer.
church say amen.
Let the church say amen.
God has spoken.
God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Of
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father God, what a joyous occasion this is, O God.
That's right.
Father God, that we could hear from you, O God.
Yes.
Father God, that we could dine around your table tonight, O Lord, and feed from your flesh this evening, O Lord. Father God, we come before you now, Lord. Father, and we humble ourselves, O God.
Yes.
Father, and we say thank you, O God, for your word, O God. Father God, because, O God, tonight, O Lord, you came, O Lord. Father God, and you treated, O God, the source of it all, O God. Father God, you addressed, O God, not symptoms tonight, but the source, O God.
That's right.
Father God, so many times, O God, Father God, we are fearful, O God. But, O God, we forget, O God, that your word teaches us, O God, that you gave us a spirit of confidence, O God. Father God, and tonight, O God, you came, O God, and you addressed it, O God,
yes,
in a very special way, O God.
Thank you.
Father God, as individuals, O God, you spoke to us, O God. Father God, whatever it is, O God, whatever it may be, O God, may it be a giant, O God, may it be a lion or a bear, O God, tonight, O God, we overcame, O Lord,
yes,
because, O God, your word said so, O God.
Thank
Father,
you,
we say thank you, O Lord, that you used our brother Malika so good, O God, Father, that you could stand in the gap tonight again, O Lord. Father, we pray, O God, may you bless him, O God. Restore the virtue that we have left him, O God. Father, we pray, O God, may you bless him and his family, O God. Father God, as they go back, O God, Father God, go, O Lord, and constantly be with him, O God. Father God, as we go to our respective homes, O God, Father God, may we go, O Lord, believing, O God, knowing, O Lord, Father God, that we will not fear, O Lord. Father, we are not made of running material tonight, yes. O Lord. Father, tonight, O God, Father, we are more than victorious, O God. Father, we say thank you, O Lord. Father, may we go forth, O God, conquering, O God. May we go, O God, this week, O God, possessing the gate of the enemy, O God. Father God, because your word said so, O God. We say thank you tonight, O Lord. Father, may you go now with us, O God. Bless us throughout this week, O God. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We say to the Malikos, happy anniversary. Amen. Amen. We say to Sister Flo, I don't know, I think your husband should have not revealed your age, but he did. Amen. Maybe it's because life begins at 40. Amen. 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 Happy birthday. The other time there's a sister, I wanted to know her birthday, but I realized if I just say how old are you, it's going to be a problem. Then I said, when did you matriculate? And she mentioned the year, and I said, how old were you? And she told me how old she was. Then I did the math. Amen. All right, just a tip, brothers. A gentleman never asked a lady her age. Yes. Amen. Yes. Exactly. And you know that Sister Flo is allowed to celebrate 40th birthday for 5 years on 40th birthday. Yes. All right. Amen. God bless you richly. We really thank God with the Malibus. God bless you richly as you travel back to England. It's quite amazing that England is very far from us, but yet you guys feel like, it feels like you are our neighbors. We are more closer to you than the people that are our neighbors. Amen. But we really thank God for traveling this side and stopping by to bless us in the manner that you have blessed us. I said to, yes, just look around. And I said to Pastor Maleko, a lot of times the clergy would want to preach aspirational sermons that are so disconnected from the reality.
Amen.
But today we have heard something that as soon as we step out of the church doors, we can apply.
Amen.
How many agree with that? Amen. So God bless you, Richie. Amen. God bless you richly. Can we just rejoice with 2 songs, 3 songs, and thereafter we leave the place? We normally rejoice us after the communion. It is our customary to rejoice. As the scripture says, rejoice and rejoice. Amen. It was a wonderful day when Pastor Maleko came here. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful day when we heard things that we have heard. It was a wonderful day when the seals were revealed. It was a wonderful day when the prophet was born. It was a wonderful day when he died on Calvary. It was a wonderful day when I was saved. It was a wonderful day when I got married. Hey, there's many wonderful days. You just pick up your own wonderful day.
It's a wonderful day. Yeah.
Joy of the Lord,
we say rejoice and rejoice.
We will dance.
We will
come on, brothers.
Worship in love, our great.
Hallelujah. One more time, brothers. Come on, brothers. One more time. Let's show them.
We stand and lift up our hands.
Hallelujah.
For the joy of the Lord.
Hey, brother, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Worshiping now, how great, how awesome.
How do you say that?
And he is the Lord.
Into church and say we lift our Lord up.
He's an awesome God. Let's give God a round of applause. He is only under the ministry of Malachi 4. Brothers, if you can reduce the monitor. Under the ministry of Malachi 4, where you can find sisters singing at the top of their voices. I, for one, believe Brother Branham spoke highly about us when he came here. You remember he said he was in the hotel room. And he says those natives out there, they were singing Only Believe. I believe when we get to heaven, Brother Branham will request us to render an item. You know what we were singing? You know what? When our forefathers heard that the visa of the prophet, like my visa, was declined, they sang a song. Excuse. This Brother Brum says they sang this song.
Senzenina.
Senzenina.
Tina.
Senzenina.
Hold on. If you don't read the message, you look amazed. When check it in the message, ashamed of him. He said he said they sang a song and said, "What have we done?"
Amen.
And he says it was a sorrowful song.
Yeah.
And in the 50s, this was the song that was being sung during that time.
Yeah.
Because we wanted the prophet to come to us.
Hallelujah.
Come with it.
Senzenina.
Senzenina.
Distributing the books. Then we change the soul and we say Africa has been saved.
Africa has been saved. And Africa has been saved.
Amen.
Of Malachi 4.
Oh.
evidence here. After you are dismissed, it has been a pleasure to have you keeping our company.
Amen.
And it has been a pleasure to hear the man of God. It was a blessed, blessed, blessed Sunday.
Amen.
But you know, the more Sunday, if the Sunday was more blessed, you must know the battle will be tougher.
Amen.
Because the devil wants to test you. Don't be shaken. Don't be afraid. The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself.
Amen.
Amen. And remember this victory beat when you have issues. Amen. Thereafter you are dismissed.
Yeah.